Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined again today by my colleague Sophie Moore, who is a solicitor in our quarter protection team here at Sintons. And this podcast is episode 3 of our quarter protection related podcast series. In our episode today, Sophie is going to talk about deciding who to appoint as a deputy. So without any further ado, straight over to Sophie. Sophie, good morning and over to you.
Good morning, David. Thank you. So today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about deciding who to appoint as a deputy. Now, for those of who aren't aware, a deputy is responsible for making decisions on behalf of another person who's been assessed as lacking capacity to make decisions for themselves. Now, those decisions can relate to property and financial affairs, or they can relate to health and welfare, or both. So they're pretty big decisions to be making on behalf of somebody else. Therefore, it's really important that careful consideration is given to who should be appointed as deputy, including whether the deputy should be a lay deputy, so a family member or a friend, or a professional deputy, such as a legal practitioner or a trust corporation. So I think the starting point to consider when thinking about who to appoint as a deputy is really starting with the role of a deputy. So the role of a deputy is an onerous one, and it carries with it a great deal of responsibility. So anyone putting themselves forward as a deputy must have the time to fulfil the duties and obligations placed upon them by the Court of Protection. They must act in accordance with the legislation that underpins their appointment. So the deputy will need to understand their responsibilities under the Mental Capacity Act 2005, Code of Practice and the Court of Protection rules and the deputy standards. A fundamental part of the Mental Capacity Act 2005 is the requirement to always act in the person's best interests. So the deputy will need to understand that when establishing what would be in the person's best interests, they would need to consider things like the person's present and past wishes and feelings, their beliefs and values that would likely influence the person's decision-making, any written statements that they've made when they had capacity, and any other factors which the person would likely consider if they were able to do so. The deputy must also involve the individual who is deemed to be lacking capacity as much as possible and consult those who are close to the individual where appropriate. Deputies are supervised by the Office of the Public Guardian and the Court of Protection and poses a level of supervision on the deputy. That means at least once a year, the deputy is required to submit a detailed report to the Office of the Public Guardian, setting out the decisions made on behalf of the person who lacks capacity. This is to ensure that all decisions made by the deputy are made in the person's best interests. In addition to the annual reporting requirement, a deputy must also keep all documentation, including receipts, DWP and local authority correspondence, and reports from health organisations like the NHS. So this will often leave people wondering whether or not they should be appointing a lay deputy or a professional deputy, given the level of responsibility and the onerous duty placed upon the deputy. When considering whether or not to appoint a professional deputy or a lay deputy, there are various things to consider. Anyone who knows the person who lacks capacity, including friends or family members, can apply to the Court of Protection to be appointed as a lay deputy. Alternatively, a legal practitioner or a trust corporation can be appointed as professional deputy. Whether it is appropriate to appoint a professional deputy will depend on the individual circumstances. A professional deputy might be appointed where an individual has more complex affairs which require careful management. For example, if a person is due to receive a large sum of money from a personal injury or medical negligence claim, the Court of Protection will often order that a professional deputy is appointed to manage those funds. A professional property and financial affairs deputy will deal with all financial matters on behalf of the person, including but not limited to making payments and monitoring cash flow, dealing with the purchase and adaptation of property, employing the services of care and therapy teams, and ensuring that the person is receiving the maximum state benefits they are entitled to. By instructing a professional deputy to deal with such matters, allows the injured party and their family to focus on rehabilitation and rebuilding their life post-accident. That's what we're going to cover today, and I'll pass you back to David. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Sophie. Appreciate that. Very quickly for me, we release webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk. Should you wish to take a look. You can also follow the Quarter Protection team on Twitter at SintonsCop. That's at SintonsCOP. If you'd like to discuss anything that Sophie's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of the team. Sophie can be contacted 0191 226 7878 or via email sophie.moore@sintons.co.uk. So that concludes episode 3. We will be bringing episode 4 to you fairly soon. Thank you for all the people who have joined in, who are listening to the podcast, who are engaging as we're pushing them out on social media. And asking questions that hopefully we will answer as the podcast series continues. We don't take your listenership for granted, so thank you very much. We do appreciate it. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll speak to you next time. Thank you.